Welcome to the PreparedX Podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the PreparedX Podcast. This one's going to be slightly different, changing it up again. We try and bring you new information each time we do these, be it an interview, be it some information or some experiences that we have been through in the world of crisis management and specifically simulation exercises. This one is a little bit of a round table, I guess. I'm here and joined today by Jenny Svenstrup, who is our creative manager here at PreparedX. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
So we are glad to have Jenny joining us. And what we're going to get into today is a little bit around scenario design, but we're going to get into some of the specifics around how we put the injects together. And remember, an inject is a piece of information. It could be multimedia. It could be a visual, some kind of audio. And so that really helps the exercise participants engage more throughout the exercise, and that's certainly our experience. So Jenny and her team put these visuals together and these videos, audio, again, whatever it is that we need to bring that scenario alive, we're going to be talking about today. And Jenny's going to be talking in a little bit of detail, not too technical, but in a little bit of detail of how her and her team piece these scenarios together. And so I'll just do a little bit of background before we get into it. You know, these scenarios, when we write them, we try and make them as realistic as possible to the circumstances based on, again, objectives. We've spoken about that before. You know, we don't start with a scenario. We would start with what we want to achieve, and then we put the scenario together. And so that storyline is really important. It's really important for people to be engrossed in that environment for the period of the exercise, be it, you know, a half a day, a full day, whatever your exercise period is. And so the development of that scenario is really important. The way you've heard us talk about it here before is we'll put an overview together, and Jenny sees these documents on a regular basis. That document may be 2 pages long, and then from that we kind of start to put the detail around the individual injects or periods of time that we want to deliver to the participants. And so typically, if it's a faster paced exercise, Jenny, we'll do individual injects that we hand out over shorter periods of time. And then if it's something, and that's typical for what, a fire scenario or for some kind of explosion, something that's really hitting them out of the blue and they've got to respond to fairly quickly. Whereas if we've got inject periods that are longer, if we've got, let's say, a cyber event that's going to last over a period of weeks or months, we can give them groups of injects, right? So
right, yeah. And we use you know, like a time period that could go, you know, anywhere from, you know, a few days, sometimes it can be a few weeks, really depending. So if a pandemic, sometimes it can go on for a few weeks, but then, you know, the next period might be you know, a shorter period of time, perhaps a few days instead. But, you know, at least when you use the scenario time period, you can kind of go back and forth between the two, depending on what you need.
Right. Yep. And so we'll delve into that in this particular scenario that we're going to walk you through. I'll get started here in a second. This is a fictitious scenario that we put together based on a chemical facility. Actually, in this case, it's down in Florida. And as we're doing hurricanes this month here at PreparedX, it will be a hurricane scenario. There's a lot of visuals that we're going to discuss, multimedia, audio, like I mentioned before. And in the notes section on our website through the podcast will be those visuals, video, audio. So you can actually go to PreparedX.com and you'll see the podcast menu at the top there, and you can actually go and look for episode 14 and you'll see those visuals. So if you're listening to this through iTunes or you're listening through our website, you can see, you know, go to our website and to the podcast section where you can actually get a visual representation of what we're talking about. And so what else have I got here before I jump in? in terms of the scenario. Oh yeah, this is in our Launchpad system. So we put this together and we demonstrate this sometimes if we are requested a demonstration for Launchpad. And so this is a scenario that we'll show and walk people through. So on Launchpad, for those of you who don't know, is PreparedX's exercise delivery platform, an application we put together, built specifically for exercises and exercise management. Okay, so what we'll get into it then. So the first piece we're going to talk about, I'll briefly touch on. It's basically the unfolding situation. This is where, after the script's been written and the injects have been broken down into the either individual or groups, like we mentioned before. Today we're going to talk about individual exercises as it relates to this hurricane scenario. But the background information or setting, you know, the first piece of information you provide the group is the background. So it's laying the groundwork. Where are we? What are we doing? Is it a general operating day? What day of the week is it? Is it a weekend? Is it a nighttime? You know, you're setting that background information. So those participants in the exercise from your organization can put themselves into that environment. So I would, you know, we always recommend try and put a fair amount of detail into this part. Don't just make it's a rainy day, it's Tuesday morning, and you know, 90% of the workforce is there. You've got to give them more than that. You've got to give them a decent amount of information here that's relevant to their environment. That will get them started in terms of engagement. It will start them to think, okay, I know where I am situated. I know what my job is. I know currently the business environment that we're in. And so they can really then prepare themselves for what's about to come. So in this particular instance, that would be a briefing from someone. You could use audio. You could have some visuals here as well if you wanted to. But you know, typically that's a little bit more detail at the beginning that can be delivered verbally is probably the best way to do that, and then answer any questions that you may have. So Jenny, I'm gonna let you jump in here as we go through this scenario. In this case, we're using August as the timeline, and so this is 10 a.m. And this what we've done here for this scenario is put together a breaking news, or certainly a shorter news clip on the pending hurricane. So talk to us a little bit, Jenny, about how you put a simulated news video together that has this type of information in it.
Sure. Generally, what I do first is I get the script from our scriptwriters, and the first thing I'll do is I'll read through it a few times out loud because it needs to be, you know, edited down for readability. So, you know, obviously these are going to be spoken by an actress, so you know, a lot of times they'll need to be shortened. Yep. Or, you know, just change slightly so that, you know, they flow when someone's reading them. You know, from there, I'll go and I'll choose from a pool of actors that we have. You know, I'll choose some that kind of best represents the scenario or the region that they're going to be in. We have English and Spanish speaking actors that we choose from. Again, depending on the region, we've also filmed in Portuguese and Mandarin, which can be very challenging, as you can imagine.
Right.
You know, so from there, we have our in-house studio. It's got a green screen and a desk setup. You know, our talent comes in. We, you know, load the script onto the teleprompter. And then, you know, usually I'll try to, you know, sometimes it takes 9 or 10
takes
to, you know, until you get like a really good usable take. And even from there, I still will do 2 or 3 more because it's good to have, you know, a few really good takes to choose from at that point. I call it having a few in the bank.
Sure.
From there, I pull that footage that I, by the way, I use Adobe Premiere Pro for all the filming purposes. And then I pull that footage into Adobe After Effects, where, you know, we already have 3 or 4 templates that we've created over the last few years. And the thing is, in some scenarios,
those templates are the backgrounds,
right?
So just
the
visually for the listeners, that's the background. So it could look like a newsroom that's like an international newsroom,
exactly,
versus kind of a local news station, or you know, some other kind of to fit that environment of the scenario. is this a US-based scenario, or do we need to make it look international? Is it Hong Kong because it's an Asia-related exercise?
Right, exactly.
Singapore, whatever it may be.
Right, and so because a lot of the times our first simulated news media might be a local station that's
sure.
a breaking news and it's locally. And then as the scenario progresses and it becomes national, we'll have, you know, then, you know, it's more of a synopsis of the scenario at that point, kind of. And then we'll have to use, you know, like either GNN International or, and so you want to make sure that you have enough templates for that and that you have enough, you know, actors to choose from. So, you
okay.
know. and then we also have some static over-the-shoulder images. So as, you know, the news report's going on, we may show, you know, the logo of the company that's
yep.
being impacted, or we might have, you know, some images of the storm or whatever might be happening. And in some instances where it fits, we might even put some B footage in of some emergency vehicles or, you know, if it's
fitting.
Yeah,
that works
really
well. I know when I deliver on the other end during the exercise, B footage always is very good when you're going backwards and forwards from the news anchor to the B footage. That seems to capture the attention of the participants for sure.
Right, and one other thing is we try to keep at least the breaking news videos around a minute, usually not more than 90 seconds, because usually it's something that's fast-paced or that's happening right
and
now.
And that's the reality of it. And the media will, if something's breaking and they don't have any more information, it's going to be 30 seconds,
right.
barely, or like you said, no more than a minute.
Right.
Or 90 seconds. I mean, 90 seconds is a lot for a breaking news, really.
Right, right. And then, and you know, later on in the scenario, where again, it might be more of a synopsis of
the day's events,
the day's
or
events,
the period of time, whatever it is.
Right. It can go maybe 2-2.5 minutes, but we really try to keep things, you know, under 2-2.5 minutes.
Because again, that's reality. You're not going to have somebody. Even if it's a large scale, you know, massive disaster, you know, even at that point in time, they're only going to be talking, unless it's a catastrophe on a national scale, which is often not what we cover in our corporate crisis management exercises. They're not going to be talking about your brand for that much time. They may have blogs, which we'll talk about in a minute. There may be other information that we provide throughout the scenario. But you know, keeping it under that 2 minutes for even for the longer videos is in touch with reality.
Right, and you know, and if you go on too much longer than that, it becomes counterproductive because you start to lose the focus of the audience, and you know, it's really about keeping them engaged. Right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So what I'll say here as we move on to the next one is this video again. We'll provide it in the show notes underneath the podcast. This again is, I think it's actually this one actually happens to be a longer one, but they'll talk about the hurricane. It's several days away, you know, and this is really for the participants to start to think about as it relates to a hurricane. If it's coming towards my facility, it's 2 days out, 3 days out, what do we have to do now? And so in our scenarios, what we'll do is we'll provide some leading questions underneath each of the injects just to get the thought process going. So the team can start to think about what would we be doing at this point in time? How do we need to start to think about employees, think about what may happen if the storm tracks to our direction or if it goes off in another direction, but we're still going to receive a lot of rain. So it's those early planning stages of a hurricane scenario that the team then starts to discuss based on this breaking news, as well as other information that we'll come on to. As the event unfolds. So this was actually day one, some early information, and now we're going to move on to a weather update, Jenny, which is, in this case, it's inject number 3 the following day. And this comes from NOAA. I believe you get various information as they relate to storms specifically. So talk to me a little bit about this weather update here in this, what is inject number 3.
Right, so for this example, which hopefully you guys will go check out.
Yep.
So you can
hopefully,
see this.
Yep.
But I basically recreated like the National Weather Service or NOAA graphic. I like to use the National Weather Service because I think people are pretty familiar with it, and it usually has a pretty clear representation of what's happening in the weather. So I for this particular image, I'm showing the path of the hurricane, as well as some of the impact areas, max sustained winds, movement, you know, all the information that the National Weather Service would provide. And for these graphics, I normally would create them in Adobe Illustrator, and they have to be created new every time. I sometimes utilize screenshots from, you know, the actual website, and then I can kind of, you know, manipulate them to show the
making them as realistic as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I also find it it helps to do you know, some research on past hurricanes, and of course, Florida gives you a lot of examples. So,
right.
You know, you just kind of, you know, you pull some past information and you just try to imagine what your fictitious storm might have looked like compared to some other ones in,
sure.
in history. So.
So that's a fairly straightforward one, but again, a visual representation of what, in this case, a chemical, fictitious chemical facility may be looking for, the types of resources that they reach out to, and the types of information that they obtain. So again, this is all done in the early stages of planning. It may not be NOAA, it may be some other, several other different resources that an organization utilizes. So we'll be asking the organization as part of the planning process, what resources do you use so we can replicate those resources? And again, make it realistic to the participants who are leaning on those resources during real events. So again, making it as accurate as possible. And again, more questions underneath each of these injects. So based on this new information, the tracking of the storm, you know, what's the protocol for notification? What are the reports that you need to send out? What are the other considerations from a planning standpoint that you're going through at this point in time? So again, as time moves on, there are other considerations to make in the planning stages. And so another interesting one as we move on to an audio inject here, which is quite interesting. We have a local radio station that's delivering some information, and now we're into the early morning of day 3. So the storm, I believe we started on August 1st. So this is August 3rd at 5 a.m. in the morning, or 5:45 in the morning, August 3rd, and it's a local radio station down near Orlando, or certainly in the Florida area. So again, this is in touch with what radio stations would be pushing out in terms of information. So talk to us a little bit, Jenny, about, in this case, a radio inject.
Right. So again, you know, I'll get the script and I'll edit it down for readability. And we have quite a few of professional voiceover artists that we use. And I will choose whichever would work best. You know, some have radio voices. You know, they're best for radio, and I try to choose them again on the region that we're representing. you know, with these injects, I think they're great because you can put a lot of information into, you know, the audio instead of being read per se, you know, in a PowerPoint slide or something. And, you know, and a lot of times, this is the first way that a lot of the public will get information, especially if it's been a storm and the power might be
for
out.
Sure.
And, you know, people have their radios. And this is, you know, a lot of ways that people will get their information. So I think it's important to have them in there. And again, you know, a lot of times we'll use an actual local radio station, but we'll have a fictitious name for the reporter.
Right. For the broadcaster,
right.
Yeah. And again, from a delivery standpoint, when we deliver these types of scenarios, I can tell you they are effective because they are really close to reality, like you mentioned. If the power goes down or the internet goes down, people typically that are in these hurricane, you know, or in the potential hurricane paths, typically will have a radio somewhere that you know, they can generate power through batteries or some other way. Because they're expected to lose power for a period of time, and the way to get that information is through this means. So it's certainly a very good inject to use during your hurricane drills or exercises. And so this one's an interesting one. This is just an operational update. So now it's on the same day. We're August 3rd, and the storm started to hit. There's some flooding coming through here. Maybe the storms come through at this stage, again, depending on your timeline. So again, we'll put this image up so you can see this image. But talk to me about this. This for those of you listening, just so you can visualize this. This looks like a Google Maps overlay of the facility. Again, fictitious facility that we've put into this particular neighborhood. So you can take a look at that. But Jenny, talk to me about some of the illustrations that you've dropped onto the top of this particular image.
Right. So, again, I really like to utilize Google Earth because you can get a broad area. And from there, you know, you can see streets, you can see buildings, you can see towns. And depending on the scenario, I know this one in particular, you know, we can see the facility, we can see the roads surrounding it, and also a river that's affected. And so with this particular graphic, I wanted to show which roads were blocked off, you know, which rivers have been flooded and where the flood areas are. That way, you know, the participants can react and make their decisions based on that information.
Right.
And, you know, these are real simple to put together and I think are a real good way to kind of show what the situation is at that time.
Yeah, I mean, the classic one that we do fairly regularly is the fire, right? So we've done that in a facility, be it on a an office building. It just, again, you know, puts the team that's responding to this in that moment so they can visualize, okay, here's the wind direction, here's the fire, here are the challenges that we have, you know, from an evacuation standpoint or from a response standpoint. So again, picture paints a thousand words. And just a little bit of work ahead of time to bring that image alive certainly really helps for the participants. The next one. So throughout, as we're going through these, there's only a few more here, but we'll throw in the operational update as well. So you may have some specifics that you want to discuss around the operations, and in our case here, Inject 6 is just a text-based inject that talks about some of the operational challenges. And in this case, we talk about the workforce not coming back to work. And in this case, there's an estimated up to 30% that are not going to come back at least for another 48 hours because they're dealing with personal issues, because they're dealing with fixing up their homes or getting the power back on, whatever it may be, flooding. And so as we throw these operational challenges into the scenario, it really brings home to the team that's participating in the exercise to think about the human element to, in this particular case, anyway, this operational update, the human element. If we don't have 30% of our workforce coming back for another 48 hours or even longer, how is that going to impact us getting the facility back online? So those types of challenges you build into the scenario. And then in this case, we have a number of others. We have a briefing from the National Response Center and the Florida State Emergency Response Center. And in this case, because it's a facility that's been impacted, they're asking for some information on your facility. And in this case, we've got ammonia on the site. We've got another other types of products that are stored, hazardous materials and chemicals on the site. Again, that's all built into your scenario early on that's relevant to your environment. But in this case, we had a number of chemicals that were on the site. And again, I think we just touched on this, but in this case, we have a fire now that's broken out based on the storm coming through. So talk to us about how you drop a fire on top of a storage tank or a building like we mentioned before, Jenny. Is there anything else that you want to add here?
Yeah, so these are actually some of my favorites to do, but they can be the most challenging as well.
Because, oh, good. Why is that?
Well, because, you know, you want to get the information correct. You want to make sure that you know what type of materials are burning, because that will determine what type of smoke they're doing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, you know, you need to know which way the wind is blowing. What's the wind direction? You know,
sure.
What's the wind speed? Because all of that determines what your fire is going to look like.
Right.
And, you know, you want it to be realistic as well, you know, and it takes a lot of time to get these fires to be realistic. And sometimes it takes a lot of research too. You know, we have a close associate named Mark Gillen who has he was the deputy fire chief in this in St. John, New Brunswick for I think 26 years.
Right.
And you know, when I'm doing some research and I really want to get some in-depth information on what this fire would look like or how it would react,
right.
You know, in certain situations, I'll pull from him as a really good resource.
And so the fire, again, using the fire analogy in this case, the fire may start off one way in terms of the initial explosion, or it may be slow burning, versus later on it may be burning faster and therefore be reacting in a different way. And again, like you said, there may be different wind directions which may impact the decision making to evacuate people or for people to you know, stay in buildings or whatever protocols the facility has, as well as working with external facilities or whoever it is, you know, in terms of the emergency response for the city or town that's surrounding the facility.
Right. And yeah, exactly. So you want to be able to, you know, accurately show what the fire might look like next to some adjacent buildings, or what the smoke looks like heading over towards a town, you know, with schools that might be evacuated. And
And this one that we'll show you for the listeners, this one we'll put on the website here. Again, it gives you that initial, oh, that looks so realistic in terms of the fire. And it just puts the responder, you know, you may have an emergency team that's going to be responding to the fire or working with the fire department to come into this particular environment. And again, as a tabletop exercise that we're describing here, that image just puts that team in that moment for a few seconds. And it enables them to discuss the very specific challenges. They know which tank it is. They know the chemicals that are in the tank, or if the tank's empty, or whatever it may be that's going on in this particular instance. And again, having some questions underneath each of these injects will help that team generate a response and start to walk through the various stages of what they're going to do at this particular point in time. Last couple I want to touch on, I think we have here, which is very important during simulation exercises. Certainly, we use them all the time. We use them throughout exercises. We use them typically very early on in the exercise and then all the way through the exercise. And they are social media injects. So how is the community, how is online reacting to this event that's unfolding? And as communicators or as leaders, crisis leaders, we certainly understand the impact of social media can have with regards to us responding in a certain way to an event. So talk to us, Jenny. In this case, we'll be showing a social media, in this case it's a Twitter inject. Talk to us how you put these together.
Right. So, you know, I think that the two most widely used you know, representation of social media is Twitter and Facebook. This example is Twitter.
And certainly for the States and Western, but we've done others in China.
I think there's, I'm probably pronouncing incorrectly, Sina Weibo, which I believe is in China, which we've recreated.
Sure.
But I think what I've learned is that really Twitter is worldwide. Right. And so this is a good, easy one to represent, but I think it has a lot of impact within the scenario because it's you can see what people are talking about. You can see what's trending. And so when I create these graphics, I like to create them as if someone has searched under one or two particular hashtags. So for this example, the hashtag was Estero Chemical.
Yeah, I think that's the fictitious name of the company.
Fictitious name. So we have five tweets here of what people are talking about in terms to Estero.
As well as what the media are talking about as well.
Right. So a lot of times, you know, I might pull from something, depending on the situation, you know, a real tweet that someone has used, you know, in the past, or, you know, I'll try to think of what would I say in the situation.
Right.
Or, again, in this situation, I used, you know, a news station, as if a news station, you know, was posting a story about the crisis. And you know, we have some templates that we create for these, but you know, obviously with Twitter, it's constantly changing and evolving, so you know, you got to make sure that you keep up and change your templates and keep them up to date as well, just so, you know, for the realism. But So, but I think it's important. We usually have two or three of these, you know, throughout the scenario.
Sure.
So you can see how the public is talking about it and how it develops over time.
Yeah, some of the lessons that we learn from these visuals is the human element of the impact, as well as, you know, the trending piece I think is important as well. As the exercise scales up, if it's determined throughout the planning stages that we want to make this a larger scale event for the organization, again, we'll do that trending piece. So now globally, the organization is trending on Twitter, which typically is not good, especially if it's related to a challenge that the organization is going through. Voicemail, just very quickly, how I can talk about the impact on voicemails, you know, very similar to your audio injects from before. Talk to us about a voicemail inject.
Yeah, well, these are really simple to do because basically they're real people calling it. It might be someone from the community that has questions or concerns regarding the crisis. It might be a concerned family member. And so, you know, these are easy. We can do these in-house, or we can have, you know, one of the trusted agents from the company call in. You know, we send them a script, they call in and leave a message in, so we can use that as a voicemail. But, you know, these are easy to do and, again, have a lot of impact.
Yeah, and so, again, from a delivery standpoint, when we deliver these it may be to an individual or it may be to a group, depending on the exercise that we're doing. You know, this, again, if it comes from somebody from, you know, from their facility or someone associated with the facility, it's real, right? So it's an actual person who's involved. And if you're using, in some cases, some organizations don't like to use real names, but we find that very impactful as well when they start to talk about there has been some fatalities or there's been some challenges. And we have maybe a husband or a wife calling in to talk about what's happened. Again, it's that human element. It really brings it home, the serious nature of preparing for these types of events. So, again, very, very impactful, the voicemail, and like Jenny said, fairly straightforward for us to set up. And then this is the last one that we're going to cover here. Actually, there's two that are basically closely associated. We, in the past, Jenny, have put together basically a handout, which is a newspaper. And again, I found these, you know, in certain exercises, not every, but in certain exercises where you've got a senior leadership team, a board, or some other, you know, CEO and his or her group coming together as part of, this is the next morning of this event, or since the news has broke, this is an On Wall Street Today, as we call it, basically a newspaper with a leading article on the front above the fold.
Right.
Talk to us about how you put them together.
Right. So we wanted to replicate the Wall Street Journal, so, you know, a prominent national newspaper, and we called it On Wall Street Today. And, you know, this is an actual newspaper that we've created, and it shows usually shows the name of the company impacted as the headline news. And we have an image of their company or a fictitious image of the fire or whatever might be happening.
Or if it's a cyber attack.
Or a cyber attack.
Major, loss of data, hack, or whatever it may be, as well as the name of the company on the front, as well as a story, right?
Right, yeah. So you'll see at least a good portion of the story. And then,
right.
You know, as it says.
Again, that's to simulate that initial shock of, we're on the front page of the newspaper and it's not good.
Right, and then we actually get these papers printed, and then we'll wrap them around a regular, like a real paper, and we'll present them to the team at a certain time of the exercise. And, you know, it's something that people aren't expecting to be handed an actual newspaper,
yeah,
to see their name in the headlines.
And even though it says on Wall Street, you know, today, it really, you know, people look at it, and again, it's that initial shock factor. And again, I've seen this happen in the exercises where we've used this. And I would say probably most of the times that we've done these, we'll have whoever's responsible for the organizing the exercise internally will ask to get those newspapers back so they don't walk away with them.
Right.
So these newspapers don't just get thrown in the garbage and or get left on the lunch counter and people go, oh.
Make sure they have simulation all over
it. In case that happens. Exactly. Yeah, just in case that happens. That's really important. And then the very last one here, again, we could go on. I'll talk about one more after this one, but this is a stock graphic. So in this case, the stock gets hit hard for this particular chemical company because of this facility has now been impacted, so the stock gets impacted. Again, fairly straightforward, Jenny, but talk to us a little bit about the stock.
Right, yeah, I mean, we like to use these as well in the scenarios because it's one thing to explain that the stock has gone up 10% or down 10%, or it's nice to kind of have that visual of what the stock has looked like over the entire period of the crisis. Sure. So to see what it looked like before, during, and after, and just to have that visual impact kind of helps people understand.
Especially if they're invested in the stock, if they're an employee of the company, they've probably got stocks, and if they're leadership, they're certainly going to have a fair amount of stock. So when I can tell you, when we brought this up before, we've had some moans and groans when we've dropped the stock, anywhere between, in some cases, 3 or 4%, but all the way through to something, and we've seen this with major crises for organizations where it's gone down 20-30%, and that's obviously significant for any organization. But when leadership see that,
to see that visually, in conjunction to what it looked like say 6 months ago, it can be.
And we've done that before, right? We've started off with some exercises. Cyber is a classic one where we'll start off with the stock price again. To give them, the stock, and we get it to as close as what it is that day or the few days before. And then as they go through the exercise, we'll represent the stock as dropping all the way through the exercise to the very end. So they can, again, they can get that sense of reality as they're being impacted. Okay, that's good. So the last one, I mean, again, we could go on. It really depends on what you want to represent visually, again, audio-wise, multimedia, video-wise. There are a number of things that you can represent. One of the last things I want to talk about is YouTube. And so there's been a few times where we have videoed an event happening, and we've posted that to a simulated a simulated YouTube video, and it looks like it's had thousands or millions of views when in reality it's not really on YouTube. We're just replicating that again. That's quite very impactful because we've had a couple, actually one particular security chief security officer who has literally during the exercise seen this inject come in and say, stop the exercise, that's not online, is it? And so, So again, they really do work, and obviously they're not really on YouTube. It just looks like it's on YouTube. So again, another one that you can do that can be that we do that's very impactful. So anyway, that's it. I think this is a decent sized podcast we've done today. So we must be up close to a 30-minute podcast. I think we've had great discussion here, Jenny. Appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule. So thanks everyone for listening. What I'd like you to do is please share, and if you're listening through iTunes, you can rate this podcast. We'd really appreciate that. And also, as we've been talking about exercises, what we'd like you to do is go and check out our level one prepared exercise practitioner course. So this will get you a level one certificate from PreparedX. It's an e-learning course, can be done online. If you go to preparedx.net, and you'll see at the top there's a menu and you'll find e-learning there. And there's a course in there. We have a number of courses, but there's one that's specific to crisis simulation exercises. If you go there, you can take that course online, get your certificate. There'll be a level two course coming out soon, but there's a level one that's available now. So go and check that out. And until next time, we hope you've enjoyed this one. And it's bye for now.
Bye-bye.